Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This is a smoking gun, and it could not be more important. Now, Alicia Kearns is a Conservative MP. She's also the chair of the House of Commons Foreign Affairs Select Committee. As I've said a few times now, she's actually done a significantly better job at scrutinising the government over Gaza and Israel's crimes than, say, the Labour front bench. She's also a former Foreign Office and Ministry of Defence official, which is extremely relevant here. Now, a leaked recording has been published by The Observer of her speaking at a Tory fundraising event for West Hampstead and Fortune Green Conservatives. Let's just listen to that now.
So I'll be very clear. The idea that Lord Cameron is being pro-Arabist is the absolute birds. He is fighting very hard. So first of all, two-state solution does not help Hamas. That hurts Hamas in every single way. That helps, that destroys some of the narratives of the recent basis. Two-state solution does not help them. Secondly, the Foreign Office has received official legal advice that Israel has broken international humanitarian law. But the government has not announced it. They have not said it. They haven't stopped arms exports. They've done a few very small sanctions on Israeli settlers. And everyone internationally has agreed that settlers are illegal, that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, and the way in which they have continued, the money has been put in. The position that David has taken, which happens to be the same position as me, but I've still been very tough on him, is that Israel has an absolute right to self-defense. And I have sat in bunkers and worked with Israeli soldiers and been very proud to do so. I would do it again tomorrow. But the right to self-defence has a limit in law. It is not limitless. And unfortunately, some of the ways in which Israel is prosecuting this is making their long-term security less certain. It is making our long-term security less certain. I'm amazed that our national threat level has not gone up. And it breaks my heart because I know it can be done differently. So the problem is we need a long-term security for Israel. That does not happen without a Palestinian state. And that is how we ultimately undermine Hamas. You cannot, and I spent 2.5 years of my life fighting ISIS, you cannot destroy an ideology, you cannot form it into obliteration. So we need that long-term solution.
Well, there's a few things here, really. I did, of course, say that I thought Alicia Kearns had done a much better job than Labour on this issue. Well, I mean, that is a low bar, but nonetheless. And clearly there is much I disagree with her in terms of content and tone. Now, for example, this incessant framing about the implications of Israel committing what I firmly believe is a genocidal war, framed on the terms of Israel security. Now, clearly, I want Israeli civilians to be safe. I think the land belongs to them and Palestinians to be shared on the basis of justice and equality. That has to be the starting point for any lasting peace. But if you start from the principle that the value of a life of a Palestinian and Israeli civilian has equal worth, which you should, but that is asking for the world as things stand, then the focus should be on the murderous crimes being committed against Palestinians on a daily basis, given far, 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 far more Palestinians have been killed than Israeli civilians and are being slaughtered every single day, rather than framing mass slaughter as about increasing the risk to Israel, when the risk of anything even remotely approaching the scale of what Gaza has suffered happening to Israel is essentially non-existent. Now, for a start, the IDF is not going to make the mistake of 7th October, when the hubris of Israel, in which its leaders believed Gaza was a sealed tomb, meant they left southern communities undefended. I mean, the army didn't turn up for several hours. I do think it's striking, before getting to the meat of what she said, that she says that she's surprised Britain's national threat level on terrorism hasn't gone up. So am I, incidentally. And clearly what she's saying here is that a mass slaughter of innocent people in violation of the basic norms of warfare will radicalise huge numbers of people and increase the risk of terrorism. Well, yes, that should be a statement of the obvious. But whenever such an attack actually happens and anyone makes a link to Western foreign policy, that is denounced, they're denounced as outrageous and indecent and making excuses for terrorism when that context is offered. So let's be clear now. This is perhaps the biggest mass radicalization event in history, given A, the repeatedly stated genocidal intentions of Israeli leaders, B, the footage of the atrocities they have committed, and the destruction they've unleashed, which too many people now have seen. C, the fact IDF soldiers keep gleefully posting their own war crimes on social media as fodder for comic amusement. And D, the crucial role of the West in arming and supporting this historic crime. It is essentially inevitable. I'm sorry to say this. It's macabre. It's horrible. But it is essentially inevitable that there will be terrorist attacks and innocent people are going to be killed. So when that happens, let's loop back to what Alicia Kearns said here and note the murmurs of approval of a statement of the obvious at a conservative fundraiser. But the real crucial element here is she stated that the British government has received advice from its own lawyers that Israel has breached international humanitarian law and failed to make it public. What that means, legally speaking, is Britain has to immediately end all arms sales to Israel. As the Observer notes, legal experts said that not to do so would risk putting the UK in breach of international law itself, as it would be seen as aiding and abetting war crimes by a country it was exporting arms to. So the government is suppressing this legal advice and not acting on what legal advice demands, which is an arms embargo. It also means the UK would be legally obliged to cease sharing intelligence with Israel, because that also makes the state directly complicit in criminality. Now, the Observer also notes comments by the British barrister Sir Geoffrey Nice, who prosecuted the former Serbian leader Slobodan Milosevic, that countries supplying arms to Israel may now be complicit in criminal warfare. The public should be told what the advice says. Now, let's listen to what David Cameron said on the 9th of January in the House of Commons when he was questioned by Alicia Kearns.
And just, Lord Cameron, just to clarify, so you have received no advice at any point from any government lawyer that states that Israel is in breach of international humanitarian law?
That's not what I said.
No, that's why I'm asking you to clarify.
Yes, well, I'm going to give exactly the same answer all over again, which is what my role is, right?
I'm not interested in the role, I'm interested in the legal advice you've received.
Yes, well, the legal advice I've received is consistent with the fact that we have not changed our export.
It's not about arms exports. It's about international humanitarian law being upheld when it comes to aid, when it comes to way in which airstrikes have been prosecuted, everything else. We're one question on arms exports. We've moved from them in any realm, in any respect. So you've never had a piece of paper put in front of you by a Foreign Office lawyer that says that Israel is in breach of its international humanitarian commitments under international humanitarian law?
Look, I the reason for not answering this question, I can't recall every single bit of paper that's been put in front of me.
Well, he's a slippery little slow and so, isn't he? Always has been, always will be. As I said at the time, it was extremely obvious from that exchange that the Foreign Secretary had received legal advice that Israel is in breach of international humanitarian law. He was trying to navigate two problems here. One, he didn't want to admit that he'd received such legal advice because that would mean accepting the inevitable consequences that legally follow from such advice. And two, that it is a criminal offence to lie to a parliamentary select committee. So he tries going off on a tangent and then falls back on the risible claim that he cannot remember every piece that's put in front of him. Well, perhaps not, but I would say the idea he would not be able to remember if he had seen legal advice as Foreign Secretary making it clear that Israel is in breach of international humanitarian law is farcically absurd. I know it, he knows it, we all know it, so let's just skip the pantomime.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Shall we? As Middle East Eye reported after that performance, the Foreign Secretary recommended arms sales to Israel despite serious concerns in the Foreign Office that Israel had breached international law, according to a government document filed in the High Court. Now, what should happen here, as a bare minimum, is the official opposition, the Labour Party, should demand arms sales are immediately ended, as per the legal obligations of the UK, as well as intelligence sharing. But instead, the Shadow Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, simply says the revelations raise serious concerns about whether the government is complying with its own law and that the government must publish the legal advice. Well, obviously. But firstly, look, David Lammy and the Labour leadership backed Israel's onslaught and only belatedly backed a ceasefire long, long, long after it was clear Israel had committed multiple egregious violations of international law. There was no excuses there. They wrecked a motion from the Scottish National Party, above all else, on this issue, because it included reference to Israel being guilty of collective punishment. That is, holding Israel to account for committing war crimes. So they're fatally compromised and not even doing what should be the bare minimum. But look, it's an absurdity many of us will obviously never get over, that we're even having to discuss this. Obviously, Israel has committed so many violations of international law from the very start, from a siege which is causing famine, as well as depriving Palestinians of all the basics of life, from indiscriminate destruction of civilian infrastructure, to the violent dismantling of the healthcare system, to massacring civilians via bombs and bullets, the biggest rate of killing since the Rwandan genocide, as one UN official puts it. We could go on and on and on. Now, let's just look at some of the latest revelations from the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, in order to underline that point. Now, Israel's claim that 9,000 terrorists, as it puts it, have been killed since this nightmare began last October. Now, bear in mind that if we include those buried under the rubble and officially described as missing, and I do keep having to say this, I'm afraid they are overwhelmingly long dead, then at least 40,000 Palestinians have suffered violent deaths since the 7th of October. So Israel claims less than a quarter of those are Hamas militants. But as Haaretz says, based on what they've been told by defence officials and soldiers, many of those classed as terrorists are actually simply civilians who cross into an invisible line drawn by the IDF, so-called kill zones, where everyone and anyone is fair game. Now, we've heard how Israel has claimed its mass forcible displacement of civilians is a humanitarian gesture. Well, that is used to justify claiming that anyone who remains or enters into these areas are legitimate targets. All of these accounts of mass killings of so-called terrorists are often simple massacres of civilians. Every single one of those killings is a war crime. Now, this underlines what we should already know. The vast majority of those slaughtered by Israel in Gaza are innocent civilians. Absolutely, clearly, incontrovertibly true. Now, today we also hear Israel's lodged a proposal with the United Nations to dismantle UNRWA, the main humanitarian agency in Gaza. Now, that is completely incompatible with the provisional orders of the International Court of Justice for Israel to ensure access to humanitarian aid in order to prevent genocide, as, of course, famine sweeps Gaza. To conclude, no excuses. None. It's extremely clear and undeniable that a crime of historic proportions is being committed with the full, active complicity of the British government, knowingly so. The government know this. They are willingly aiding and abetting a monstrous crime, which is why all of this should be treated as evidence for a future war crimes tribunal. I'm going to keep saying this. I know it's widely believed that Israel's impunity means that Israeli leaders and those who aided and abetted them as they committed all of these crimes means everyone involved in this absolute despicable slaughter are going to get away with it. But I no longer believe that. I don't believe it anymore. I think this crime is too big, too obscene, too overt, too shameless. Public opinion in the states Israel depends on to continue its murderous persecution of the Palestinians is shifting decisively against it. Israel has betted everything, bet the house on the fact that nothing will change, that Israel will continue to enjoy limitless impunity from its Western protectors. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think they're going to get away with it. It might be 10 years. It might be 20 years. It might be 30 years. But I firmly believe now that a lot of people are going to end up in jail for this. And we should push remorselessly to make sure accountability and justice happens. But of course, that's not enough. Now, it's not going to stop the mass slaughter in the here and now. And that's why we have to keep speaking out as loudly as we can. Please like and subscribe. Do share this video. Please leave your comments as ever. Keep the show on the road on patreon.com/owenjones84. Listen to this podcast. I will speak to you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.